Hey, this is Golden Tate, and you're listening to the Pride of Detroit podcast.
Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, here for PrideDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, for everything about the Detroit Lions and anything else on the minds of the Pride of Detroit staff. This is kind of our little writer's lounge to hang out after writing a good week of good hashtag content here. It's right now in your ears. I am Chris Lemieux at Adequate Host. And as always, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online, the fearless leader, and Ryan Matthews back, it's the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD. How are we doing today, guys?
Good. Coming to the people a day early, right?
Yeah, we're trying to move over to a Sunday release. I don't think it's going to happen every week, but we just decided we want to start doing these on Sundays afternoons. It works better for us. It allows me to put it out still on Tuesday, but I have an extra day to edit if I need to as well, because I get really tired working in the middle of the week, staying up all night editing our messes, our grand glorious messes we seem to throw down. And it gives Ryan a chance to get in here before hockey and play Overwatch while talking about the Lions.
I don't have my PlayStation on. I rage quit because you guys forced me to do this podcast against my will. So
you know what's no one's forcing you to do is wearing that Dante Culpepper jersey.
Yeah, I hope you guys like it, because he was one of my favorite players because he fits a certain criteria.
we didn't say the most important part about his jersey yet, though.
It's a Vikings Culpepper jersey,
and it's on backwards, which is the right way.
Mm-hmm. Play for the name on the front.
Cash Money Records for the 99 and 2000s.
I almost want to buy you a Willie Beeman jersey just so I never have to see you in that jersey ever again.
Secret Stafford is less than a year away.
That's right. Secret Stafford coming back on up. All right. What are we talking about today? We're talking about free agency. We kind of touched on it a couple of podcasts earlier. We were talking about the defensive line, our positional review. We're also going to be doing a little draft talk. We've had a new tool in the Pride of Detroit Slack, and I want to kind of go through some questions we have early on the draft, because this is kind of the first big off-season episode we have. No more Super Bowl, no more Lions, no more playoffs, no more NFL. Here we are. This is it. The dank, dirty off-season with nothing to do.
It's a good description of it. Dank and dirty.
We are rendered to eagerly anticipating the draft combine. That's the thing that we're most looking forward to at this point. So this is what you can describe as maybe the worst part of the offseason.
Every part of the offseason is the worst part. We will say this after the draft, that this is the worst part of the offseason. There's like eight worst parts.
We'll at least have like 2 weeks to go back and look at some exciting film of our new guys. And then there's like a month of nothing pretty soon after that. And that might be worse than now, because then it's just looking forward to football with nothing, including like a free agency and drafts and stuff like that we all kind of have to look forward to right now, even though it's all kind of silly conversation.
I'm just saying, like, last year we did this like 3, 4, 5 times. Like, this is the worst part of the offseason. So I'm trying to curtail that much early on. But I think we should open. We are going to talk a second in free agency, but I do want to open talking about Grand Rapids. We mentioned it last podcast, but Friday, February 17th, Pride of Detroit staff, nearly all of us are going to be up in Grand Rapids for the Grand Rapids Griffin game. I don't know how you're going to find us. Maybe start singing Africa. We will find you. or stop out at Founders after the game. I think we're going to try to go there unless one of us just kind of wimps out or something, but it is $2 beer and hot dog night, so no pictures.
No pictures, no video.
No pictures, no video.
That includes Facebook Lives, Periscopes.
Please, no photo.
I like how we're all delusioned into thinking we're celebrities at this point.
We're not. But you know what? Hey, you know, stuff happens. I've seen worse. But let's talk about free agency now. Now that we've got that out of the way, unless Ryan wants to chime in. He hasn't had much chance to chime in on anything here. So how are you feeling about Grand Rapids?
How am I feeling about Grand Rapids? I feel like we're going to be the most exciting thing that's going on inside that arena.
We're going to be singing Africa all night long.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen the Griffins record too, so.
It's gonna be weird meeting all of you in the midst of a 3-hour car drive.
Yeah, I'm like driving up from Toledo to Detroit, and then we're all kind of like driving over there together. So we're going to learn to just hate each other very quickly, I feel.
I'm more so worried about the car ride back.
Oh, yeah, hungover? Yeah. All right, let's talk about free agency. So we talked about, a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about the Lions need to fix up the offensive line before doing anything else in free agency, before thinking about the draft at all, because it is critical. You can go back, find that podcast. I believe it's called like the one question the Lions need to answer before they draft anyone. And we just basically pointed out, hey, your entire right side of the line might walk in free agency. So with that in mind, that we talked last time about Riley Reiff, Larry Warford, and, you know, the potential for them to walk. I just wanted, this is our jumping off point in free agency. I know there's other positions we want to talk about here early on, but I wanted to start with names they could replace, because I think, I don't know, maybe they could get Reiff. He might be earning left tackle money, though. So, but what do we see as names for tackle and guard to replace? Like, where can you even start right now, given the market?
Okay, so that's the interesting kicker, is given the market. And I don't think that the Lions will go out of their way to really go after some of the more attractive options in free agency, because they're going to be just as expensive or more expensive than the guys that you would let walk. You know, e.g. Larry Warford or Riley Reiff. The guys that are, you know, lining up to become free agents this offseason unrestricted, you have T.J. Lang, who is almost assuredly not going to be back in Green Bay. He's going to be 30 years old. He's a guard. His market value, I think that potentially he'll make maybe less money than Warford, just because he doesn't have the youth on his side. And he has had some problems with injuries. But like I said before, I mean, I just don't see the Lions getting into any kind of bidding wars with any other teams to pick up offensive linemen when they have Warford and Reiff, who they could just as easily sign for potentially less money than they'd have to spend for one of these guys on the open market. If you want to look at Cincinnati's, I think it's Kevin Zeitler,
yeah.
Yep. I mean, he's due for a big payday. He's a right guard. He played really well last season. He's probably going to stand and make more money than Larry Warford in free agency. I mean, it just seems like it's not going to be the type of free agency where the Lions can go out and spend a lot of money when they have guys that they could easily just plug in.
Sure. Eric Kush, I think, from the Bears is also hitting the market at guard, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, if you're super into tank tops, we should get Eric Kush.
I might be. Tackle, I know there's Gosder Sherilis. I know you were hung up on him, Ryan.
We don't even define hung up on Gosder Sherilis.
I don't know. It was just a big name I've heard you mention. So
I only mentioned it because he's a chotch. I don't know. Like, am I making any sense? Like, do you guys see the Lions going out and spending a lot of money on offensive line position? Because there is depth. I mean, this is the one area where it seemed like Bob Quinn really addressed in the draft last offseason with Joe Dahl, Graham Glasgow, Taylor Decker, like all these guys that he went and picked up, and those were depth guys. And I'm wondering whether or not it's just going to be the answers are going to be found internally rather than going out in free agency and getting guys.
I think it is for guard. I don't know so much about tackle. That's kind of where I'm getting hung up.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I personally think I would attack the offseason by prioritizing Riley Reiff. At this point, it just doesn't look like there are any better options out there. And aside from running the risk of getting into a bidding war in free agency, you're going to be dealing with a guy who you're not familiar with. You know Riley Reiff. Mm-hmm. You know his limitations. You know where he can get better. With one of these other guys, you're throwing a lot of money at an unproven talent. And, you know, a team is getting rid of them for a reason, right? So I just think at this point, you make Riley Reiff a priority. You kind of enter the draft knowing that you don't necessarily need a guard. You can roll with Laken Tomlinson. You can roll with Travis Swanson and Graham Glasgow. Yeah, you can roll with that and be okay. You won't be at your best, maybe, but you'll leave yourself options. And I just don't see anyone in this free agency who's worthy of a starting position at the price that they're likely going to come at. So if you're targeting the offensive line in the offseason, you're probably getting a depth guy, I would say.
Now, Jeremy, why don't you take it away on just kind of other positions I think right now probably top needs in this free agency class. Because I'm sure there's probably other... They are going to spend money. They are definitely going to spend money. We know that. It's just a question of, like, how much, and I believe they have about $35 million in cap space right now. Obviously, the Stafford contract needs to be negotiated. Some other guys, you might want to think about starting to re-sign, but it's mostly... There is money to start playing around before they even start cutting anyone.
I mean, I think it's defensive line, and we're going to talk more about that in the second segment, so I won't get into it too much now, but I think that is absolutely the number one priority anywhere along the defensive line. But then you just kind of have to think about it. You have to think, is going after a guy like Dont'a Hightower at the linebacker position worth it? It's going to cost you a lot of money, but at the same time, your defense needs a splash player like that. Or you could go in the secondary and look for guys like that. We've talked in the past about AJ Bouye. He would definitely change the look of the secondary right away. I'm not sure it's worth it at this point, considering he's the clear number one cornerback available, and he's probably going to come at a high price, and the Lions aren't necessarily in the market for a number one guy like him. But, I mean, that also gives you options. That gives you, like, an abundance of talent, which is never a bad thing at a position, but it's just going to come at a costly price.
So why not? Why there, though, and why not, like, another position? Because I'm going to state my bias here. I'm looking at the safeties that are out there right now, and I want DJ Swearinger.
Because of his name?
Also his Twitter name. Do you know what his Twitter handle is?
No, I do not.
Jungle Boy Swag. He also had 3 interceptions last year. He's vastly growing.
I mean, bring him to the Lions. It makes a lot of sense. Lions, jungle, king of the jungle, Lions. I mean, yeah, sure. Makes a whole lot of sense.
I mean, he just grew very well in Arizona, so I'm all for it.
He's
also only 25.
Well, then he's probably going to be pretty expensive then, right?
I think he earned about like $1.6 million last year, so, and that was on like a 1-year contract.
Isn't he more of a strong safety type? Like, that's exactly what the Lions don't need. If the Lions are grabbing a safety, they need to start talking about getting Glover Quinn's replacement, because he has either 1 or 2 years left on his deal, and he's getting up there in age, and a lot of people say they saw his play drop off at the end of the year. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
I think he's still the cornerstone to the defense right now, and, you know, the Lions need to rely on him next year, but they do need to start considering his replacement, right? They need to get younger there.
Sure, and, I mean, the problem is that I'm looking around and, like, okay, I mean, Eric Berry is probably not going to be on the market. He's probably going to get re-signed by Kansas City. Even if you were going that route, though, he's probably going to cost you about, like, what, north of $10 million? Something like that.
Who knows? Yeah, something
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, something huge. I mean, in value plays, you could probably go for J.J. Wilcox out of Dallas. He was kind of up and down, though, but he will be an unrestricted free agent. I'm just kind of rolling through some names here, but yeah, I mean, there's options at free safety. It just, I think the top ones are going to cost a lot. It's going to be an Eric Berry. It's going to be a Nate Allen or something like that. It's going to cost you a bit of a chunk to get a free safety.
I'm trying to figure out how to prioritize, and you can go ahead, Jeremy, but real quick, I'm trying to figure out how the Lions are going to prioritize what they're going to target in free agency versus where they can fill needs in the draft, because they do have 8 draft picks, right? Tentatively speaking, because we still need to figure out whether or not John Bostic's conditions were met, but he didn't play a single down of football all season, so I'm assuming that they weren't. But Jeremy, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just going to say, like, this, I mean, to me, here's how I view the Lions situation at safety, at least. At strong safety, they have to consider themselves set, even though Rafael Bush is set to become a free agent. They have Miles Killebrew waiting in the wings. They were fine with Tavon Wilson last year. And then in the free safety position, like I said, the goal is to become younger. So grabbing a guy in free agency doesn't seem like it makes sense to me. Maybe it's a guy you grab in the 4th or 5th round, try to develop him like you did Miles Killebrew this year. I don't know. To me, and even cornerback is kind of, if you're going secondary in free agency, I think you got to do cornerback. You need kind of that veteran guy, kind of the Rasheen Mathis type that we had a couple years ago.
Well, I have a couple names in mind, so let me throw some names out to you and see what you guys feel. All right, the first name on my list is a Grand Valley State alum, Brandon Carr. I mean, he fits that mold. He's 30 years old. He's coming off a huge contract in Dallas. And I believe he ranked, real quick, if I can check this out, he was 51st among all qualifying cornerbacks, PFF grade of 75.3.
I think he made something like $10 million last year.
Yes, but he's not going to get nowhere near that type of money because he is 30. So, I mean, maybe he's looking at maybe like 5.5 to maybe tops like $6 million a year. I mean, what do you guys feel about Brandon Carr?
That's not a bad option, actually. I kind of like that. It's still maybe a little bit more costly than the Lions would like, but they, like you said, they have so many holes that they need to hit some of these in free agencies and can't just rely on waiting to fill them in the draft.
Another name that I want to throw out to you guys, and I know that Jeremy might have a little bit of bias, but Leon Hall, he's going to be a free agent again from the Giants, because he only signed a 1-year deal with them in the offseason, formerly of Cincinnati Bengal fame. He was 44th among all qualifying quarterbacks, PFF grade 75.9, so right around the same same grade as a Brandon Carr. What do you guys feel about Leon Hall? He's 2 years older.
That's tough. I mean, it's hard to view Leon Hall's career as anything but at least a mild disappointment. You know, he's a first-round pick and all, and never really, I don't know, I'm trying to see how many interceptions he's had at most in a year. He had 6 1 year, 5 another year. He's a guy that I don't know if you would really expect that much out of, especially at this point in his career. So I would actually kind of lean against a guy like Leon Hall. But I don't know.
Two rapid questions to close out this segment. One, do you guys see the Lions anywhere near the bid for AJ Bouye?
No.
Okay. The last one I have then is a question which we didn't really touch on, is the question of slot receiver. Just in case, you know, just in case Anquan Boldin doesn't come back, there are some big wide receivers in the market, but if we're being honest, you're not going to be in there for DeSean Jackson. You're not going to be in there for Pierre Garçon. What are you doing as far as the slot?
So I don't think that is an answer that's going to be, that's going to, you know, come to a conclusion internally. Like, you're not going to promote Jace to slot receiver. Andre Roberts isn't going to be the guy going into next season if you choose to re-sign him. I don't think that either of those options are viable. So in turn, do you, if Boldin isn't your slot receiver, do you lean on Eric Ebron more? Is he going to get more targets? Does he become like the de facto slot receiver?
I think so, but you still need someone on that other side, right?
I mean, not necessarily. They go 3 wide and just consider Ebron a third receiver.
Okay.
But, I don't really see them going after any big, like, I see them signing a bunch of, like, Andre Roberts and Andre Caldwells and, like, battling out to see who wins that third or fourth position. So, I mean, I don't expect it to be, like, any type of big name. Like, maybe a Cecil Shorts. type of guy.
What about Terrell Pryor?
No. He's going to the Patriots. I mean, there were a couple of names when I wrote Anquan Boldin's player review about a month ago. There were some names like Kamar Aiken from Baltimore.
He had kind of
a down season. But in terms of like player profile, in terms of like size and whatnot, they seem pretty similar. But I mean, he's going to cost you a little bit of money. Robert Woods from Buffalo, he could be another option. But I think that the Lions, either they target Ebron more or Boldin comes back, or they draft somebody to fill that role. I don't know. I just don't see them. Bob Quinn hasn't spent big money on anybody except really Marvin Jones. And because of his lack of production, do you think that makes him a little gun shy to go out and spend a lot of money on another skill position player?
I mean, I think it's still too early to tell about Marvin Jones.
That is definitely true. And I just think why make that your priority two off seasons in a row to sign a big wide receiver free agent?
Yeah. Or to have all that money gummed up at one position.
All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the defensive line. I think definitely one of the deeper points, but we need to figure out the personnel, talk about that a little more, talk about some names like Kerry Hyder, A'shaun Robinson, and more when we come back. Continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, we talked quite a bit about free agency and kind of continuing on. I know, Jeremy, you wanted to talk about what the Lions might target for the defensive line. And wouldn't you know, that's our positional review for this week. We try to take everything that's kind of gone on with them, the players, the performance. So what do you guys think of the Lions' performance at defensive line last year?
I actually think it was probably the biggest disappointment of the entire team. Maybe outside of linebacker.
Because do you think that has to do with expectations, though, going into the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, we looked at the position, especially defensive tackle, and thought this was the deepest position on the team. And who outside of A'shaun Robinson made any plays? Polodinata, maybe a couple. We thought Stephon Charles was going to be great. We thought Tyron Walker was going to make a huge leap. And now the Lions are faced with a lot of decisions because they've got four guys who are key contributors last year. They're all unrestricted free agents if they don't re-sign them. They got Devin Taylor, Armony Bryant, Stephon Charles, Tyron Walker, and then you have Kerry Thornton, who's a restricted free agent, and you've got Kerry Hyder, who's an exclusive rights free agent. So Kerry Hyder will probably be back. But I couldn't tell you any of those four guys whether they're going to be back or not. I have a feeling Devin Taylor's gone pretty much for sure, but everyone else on that list, I don't know.
I think Devin Taylor, you might let him walk, but that really depends. This is a very curious position because I think this is one we've all looked at and said, yeah, the Lions might draft here. And if they do draft a defensive end, then absolutely, then yeah, you can start talking about moving on from Devin Taylor. But I personally think defensive end tends to be a little thin. But granted, you've also got Kerry Hyder there now, who Kerry Hyder at least showed himself to be productive this year, which was, I think, probably the biggest surprise. But yeah, other than that, like the tackles up and down outside of A'shaun Robinson, who I think is going to be do you think he could be a starter next year?
Absolutely. I mean, he basically was one down the stretch anyways. He was having either the most or the second most snaps of all the defensive tackles. So if playing time is your concern, he's essentially already the second starter. But the Lions already have to start thinking about who's going to start beside him because Polodinata is up there in age. He's on his last year of his contract. They need another guy there who's going to be able to attack the quarterback because they don't really have a guy who can penetrate as a good pass rush right now. A'shaun Robinson wasn't that last year, and neither was Polodinata's never been that guy. So I really want to see a guy who can get in there, get in the backfield, pressure the quarterback from the middle, push the pocket so that the defensive ends have a better chance at picking up some of those sacks on the edge.
And that's who we expected Tyron Walker to be. Like, because right. that was his MO in New Orleans. And then when he came here last year as a free agent, he had the unfortunate happening of his leg getting snapped in the Seattle game. And then this past season, it just didn't come to fruition. He wasn't the same player that showed a lot of promise in New Orleans. So it's hard to say whether or not Charles will be back or Walker will be back. Like you said, Jeremy, of the four guys who are free agents, it's tough to say where they fit. But I would bank on at least two of those guys coming back. And the reason I say that is because you just can't fill every position depth-wise with Pro Bowl players. I don't know if this is just something that we need to kind of lay out for everybody. Free agency, you can't just let everybody go because it costs an awful lot of money to bring in free agents.
Only get the best players. Only draft, only sign the best players. That kind of argument on Twitter. Totally feel ya.
And so Kerry Hyder is for sure, he'll be back next season. As an exclusive rights free agent, they have too much control over him. He played too well. I would argue that he was the best player along the entire defensive line last season. He'll be back. Plus, he has versatility, kicking inside, playing defensive tackle as Jeremy talked about getting a pass rushing threat from the interior. He kicked inside sometimes and lined up in the three tech, and he was able to push the pocket a little bit with the bull rush and everything. But he'll be back for sure. So really the three guys that you're looking at are Stephon Charles, Tyron Walker, and Armani Bryant, because I don't see Devin Taylor coming back by any means. He's going to get paid way too much money. He's going to get somewhere between six, maybe even $7 million a year from somebody.
Yeah, the wild card to me is Stephon Charles. I wrote a profile on him last week, and it's interesting because he got praised all year from the coaches. And anytime a reporter was kind of nudging them to say, who's looking like they're improving on the defensive line, Stephon Charles was always the first guy on out of their lips. And it's weird to me because the production was not there. He had 12 total tackles all year. Didn't really do anything of note outside of that one fourth down stop at Chicago. I think it was at Chicago. Is that right?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of hype around him too, because he was one of the first free agents that the Lions signed last year out of Buffalo, and prior to that out of Chris's favorite league, the CFL.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know, I had a lot of hopes for him, but he also was a healthy scratch at least three times last year. And one being as late as, I think, the Giants game. So it's hard to really get a grip on what the Lions think of a guy like him. But I'm leaning towards they'll probably bring him back, but I just don't know. I got a lot of mixed signals from the coaching staff, and he's kind of the guy I'm most interested in to see what they're going to do with him.
I think he's probably the more likely to be brought back, though.
Yeah. I mean, he'll come cheap.
Okay. Of what we've got, Charles Walker, Armonte Bryant, I think we can all just say farewell to Bryant. He was not good.
I think he'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, he had what? He had four sacks in three games or something, if he hadn't gotten injured.
He always had one sack and then would just go cold the rest of the game, though.
He wasn't getting a whole lot of snaps.
Exactly how I would describe Kerry Hyder. I think we're overhyping Kerry Hyder, if I'm being
honest. Whoa, come on, man.
He came out of the league, out of the season like a cannon. But you look at the last eight games, he probably had two, three sacks.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, this is his first season of getting a whole lot of play. I'm not saying that Kerry Hyder should be the starting defensive end opposite Ziggy Ansah next season. I don't think that's the case at all. He should be a depth guy for sure.
Right. But I'm just, I think some people are getting a little too hyped out of him. He's very young. He's still only 25. So some people might think, this guy could be a starter in the future. I don't think that's ever personally going to happen. And let's be honest. We're just looking at sack stats sometimes with this guy a little bit and getting a little over enamored, I think.
I think some people are getting a little over enamored with the fact that he had a 8-sack total, and granted, a lot of those games were multi-sack games, so there was some time where the quote-unquote production was not there, but Kerry Hyder passed the eye test for me more than any defensive lineman over the entire season.
Yes, that's a very low bar to set, but I agree with you.
Well, okay, so we argued Bryant, Hyder, and Walker a bit. So I guess, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out where to place Charles here, but I think we could probably see him come back. I don't know. What do you guys think on Walker, though? Like, I'm not sure what to really make of him. Like, is it kind of the same after the injury? Do we expect that return?
Part of me wants to give him another chance because I do feel like he was given a raw deal here in Detroit. Not of anyone's fault, just out of bad luck. Sure. But I don't know. Like, this year was such a huge disappointment that I think the Lions will probably move on, and they'd probably be right to do so.
All right, two more names here. First off, I do need to bring up Ziggy Ansah because, like, he did have... I mean, he was dealing with some pretty bad injury, but, like, I don't know. I didn't really think too much of what he had this year. Granted, what he was doing last year, I don't know. Is that sustainable? Is that able to be returned? Like, the 2015 Ziggy Ansah?
You would hope.
It's an interesting question. Yeah, you would hope. Because for the first... you know, 3-4 years of his career, we've always been told, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Just wait till he learns the game better. But now, he's like 28 now or something now. And he's got, his rookie contract is coming up. People have to decide whether he deserves to get an extension or what kind of extension he deserves. I think the Lions are going to do everything they need to keep him because they're that desperate at the position right now. But what sort of money has he earned? How big of a setback was 2016 and how much of it was caused by that high ankle sprain suffered early in the year? I don't have any of the answers to this question, but 2 sacks in 13 games speaks for itself, right?
Just interesting to note on his contract, we are finally hitting that backloaded part of the contract. He's going to be making about $12 million in 2017. Then after that, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And obviously, like, defensive end is something the Lions are going to need to figure out. They need to figure out if Ansah is going to be your number one going forward, and then figure out who's the number two.
Yeah, and that's why I think they probably don't extend Ansah this year like they would normally with players like him. They'll probably, I don't know, I would say treat this year like a Trout year, and then if they have to, franchise him next year. If he proves himself worth it, yeah. Like, because this is a guy who you're expecting to be a top 10 defensive end, right? And if he's not, then, you know, throw him a deal that isn't top 10 worthy. And if he doesn't accept him, like, you got to move on. He'll be 29 by the start of next year.
The only thing I hope is that I hope the Lions pay him based on how productive he is this season and not how productive he could be in upcoming seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he doesn't get the type of deal where it's like, I hope he lives up to it rather than, you know, what he should be paid and how he should be valued as a, you know, like Jeremy said, I think in the end of May, I think he turns 28. So by the time next season starts, he'll be 28. And I mean, how much are you really going to shell out for a guy? You know, who potentially could be hitting, you know, the prime of his career, but he didn't do much last season to warrant a big deal.
Last note I have here, one of the last round 6 draft pick from last year, fairly disappointing up and down, but Anthony Zettel. Kind of had a little bit of play here and there, but what do you feel on him?
I don't have anything on him yet. I mean, he was always going to be a long-termish project if he was going to make it at all. I don't think you should really expect anything out of him in 2017 either, to be honest. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope something happens there, but he's a late-round draft pick, you know. You kind of just have to get lucky sometimes. I know you love Anthony Zettel, but...
I mean, love only extends so far.
I mean, his get-up off the ball was just not anything impressive last season. Like, it seemed like his snap reaction was really slow. He did have the one sack. I think it was it the Giants game when he got to Eli? So, I don't know. Like Jeremy said, I mean, he's one of those late-round draft picks that you hope that maybe you lucked into something. But the one thing I want to send to you guys real quick is, of all these mock drafts that we've been seeing, it seems as though almost everybody and their brother-in-law has mocked a defensive end to the Lions. Is that clearly the number one need along the defensive line?
I don't know if I would say clearly. I mean, you heard me from the get-go of 2017 that a definitive pass rusher was my number one need for the team. And I still stand by that, but I think defensive tackle is a very, very close second.
Because that's the interesting thing, though, is that when you say the Lions need a pass rusher on the defensive line,
it could come from the defensive tackle position.
Because that's ideally the guy you want next to A'shaun Robinson, who's more of a run stuffer. Yeah.
Well, what options do you see in free agency for both defensive tackle and defensive end?
There are some interesting names out there.
Break the bank, baby. Kawan Short. Break your piggy bank on Kawan Short. Do it. What? You won't.
There's Chris Long on the list. About Detroit.
Yeah, he almost joined the Lions last year. Now he's got his ring. Maybe he's willing to try something else.
Come on down. Yeah, sure. Sure, why not? Smith is an older guy out there, but...
I mean, and there's other, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul's a name we've heard a couple times already this offseason. Mm-hmm. The Lions could break the bank on someone like him, and I wouldn't be completely against it. And one of my favorite names that have been tossed around lately is one Nicholas Fairley.
Oh, God. It's a reunion.
You don't think there's a chance?
Yeah, he's not coming back. I really don't think Nick Fairley is an option, though, because I think that it wasn't just like a Mayhew thing. I think it was a coaching thing.
It's possible.
And I don't think that last season with Caldwell didn't go over so well. So I don't know if I see him coming back.
Is that it for the defensive line?
Unless you want to talk about some specific draft guys that you're in love with, Ryan.
Okay, yeah, Ryan, why don't you go ahead, because I have not even started thinking about the draft. Sorry, hold up. Actually, you know what? We should probably do this next segment. You want to lead off next segment, go right into it? Into the draft?
Sounds good. Sounds great.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's draft time, baby. It's what you've always wanted. All right, time to talk about the draft. It's what everyone talks about every year as soon as the football ends. It's the draft. No more Senior Bowl games, no more trying games, just waiting on the combine is the draft. We did end it last segment talking about defensive ends, talking about how nearly everyone's kind of been mocking a defensive end to the Detroit Lions. Ryan Matthews, you have been playing around with a couple of tools for... mocking out drafts, and that's all that I've seen in the Slack channel while I've been busy this week. Like, every time I'll check in between a job, you will be, like, posting your mocks, so...
Yeah, I kind of created a monster by paying for premium for fanspeak.com so that everybody at Pride of Detroit could do their own mock drafts, and with... But yeah, so defensive ends, I mean, the name that seems to be the most popular... name that's getting mocked to Detroit is Taco Charlton from Michigan.
Love it.
And I think Jeremy can speak a little bit about Taco Charlton because he selected him in a mock draft that he participated in last week. But there's an awful lot of interesting talent once you get past the big two, like Miles Garrett and Solomon Thomas, as far as edge guys. There are a lot of names, and the names like Derek Barnett's been mocked to the Lions, Taco Charlton has. It just seems like it's kind of trending in that direction right now. Defensive end for the Lions in the draft, but you know, like Chris, you said, everybody wants to talk about draft this, draft that, and with free agency happening before that, you kind of have to wait to see how that Sure. plays out before you get a good idea of where you're going to go in the draft.
Now, it's interesting you bring up Taco Charlton and the draft that Jeremy participated in, because I remember we were listening to a sound clip from that. I think it was from you, Ryan, about what happened with that, Jeremy, because this is the thing I was confused about Taco Charlton, is that earlier on in the offseason, I heard nonstop Taco Charlton won't be there for the Lions at 21. And then you go on to that draft and you picked Taco Charlton, and then they were just like, oh, I think it was a mistake to take him this early.
I mean, that's what you're going to see this early in draft season. You're going to see a lot of disparity. You're going to see a lot of people kind of go with the flow, so that when one person puts Taco Charlton in their top 10, suddenly everyone thinks he's going to be a top 10 pick. And then another person puts him completely out of the first round, and suddenly everyone thinks he's not going to be a first round pick.
Is that just a Lions thing, though? It's like, because no. I remember last year this happened with you with Taylor Decker, where everyone's like, oh, the Lions picked too early. I think it's like, oh, hey, the Lions guy's picking, so it's time to just mock whatever the hell they're doing.
Well, and I also got a little flack for picking a local guy, which, sure, whatever. They didn't even know I went to Michigan when they were dogging me for that.
Come on.
But, I mean, I don't know. You'll get a lot of flack for anything you pick this early in the season because there's no consensus. Like I said, people's opinion just changed by the week, by depending on who Daniel Jeremiah or Mel Kiper or whoever puts their thing out. Suddenly the national perspective on these guys change. And I think as you get closer to the draft, and whether it's smoke screens or not, you'll get some rumors out there. You'll have the combine to kind of reference as well. You'll get a better idea of where these guys should actually be. And I don't know. I mean, I think Charlton's going to be a top 15 pick personally, but we'll see.
Do we really think Mel Kiper has that kind of sway, though? I don't think these draft guys have that sway. I think what has a sway, though, is what you mentioned, free agency and the combine. I think those are like the two most important things that will alter this completely.
Oh, absolutely.
And those are valid. Those are both valid.
But Mel Kiper moves the needle, whether he deserves it Just look at the clicks. He moves the needle.
He gets the clicks, but I don't think other people out there who are making these drafts then rush to copy Kiper.
Everyone makes mocks now.
Let me reference the beginning of mock draft season, because it seemed like once the year turned over, Derek Barnett was a top 10 pick. And now all of a sudden in McShay's latest mock draft, he has Derek Barnett going to the Lions all the way at 21, which is a pretty big fall from grace. So I don't know. I don't know if these guys, if their opinions hold so much weight, but then again, you have to think about who's making the decisions in these rooms.
Yeah, like, do they care about Mel Kiper?
Maybe some owners do. I mean, like, franchises are much more dysfunctional than we probably acknowledge that they are. Like, we like to think that they have a lot of, like, knowledgeable people always in place, but come on, like, the 49ers just put John Lynch in charge. Who's to tell me that over in Jacksonville, like, Khan isn't in the room, like, saying, like, I want this guy because he looks super cool.
I don't deny that, owners meddle. And I think that's kind of the point of dysfunction. But, I mean, actual general managers and scouts, I don't think they're clicking on a Kiper mock draft.
No, maybe not. But then again, those guys ultimately don't always make the decision.
Sure. It could be Jimmy Haslam taking advice of a hobo.
Could be Jed York.
Matt Millen.
Jed York.
Listening to a screen in the back of the ear.
Could be Jerry Jones sitting there with
Brian Calhoun.
But, okay, so I guess the other question I have, so we talked a bit of defensive ends there, but what would you say, Ryan, is the more interesting point to talk with the Lions right now? Is it the top rounds? Because, I mean, again, a lot of people are saying defensive end. Or is it kind of those mid to late rounds? Because I think where you guys were getting off on the slack a lot was talking some of those later rounds on guys like, I'm just going to name drop Toledo guys here. Kareem Hunt, Michael Roberts, tight end. Mm-hmm. I saw you guys mocked him in like the 7-6 round a lot. Kareem Hunt, you seemed really hung up on because you've been really kind of eating up his stuff. He's a running back. And
he is. And his fumble rate is insane. Like,
in a good way.
The guy like just doesn't put the ball on the ground. Yeah. So I don't know. I think I find the mid-round guys so fascinating at this point of draft season, just because those guys are most likely going to rise, or I like to think that they will. But it's fun to think that potentially right now, just because nobody has done a whole lot of research, or the combine hasn't happened, so on and so forth, that those guys still have so much more time to rise. But the idea of getting them in those middle rounds is so cool. But I think that in general, that this draft is just pretty deep at a lot of positions that the Lions could stand to upgrade. And like specific role players, like we're not in the same space where the Lions are such an awful team anymore, where like they could just stand to upgrade at X position like any type of player fill in that role. Like the Lions need a tight end number two who is more traditional in the sense that he can line up on the line and block, but he can also like go out and, you know, catch a ball. Who is, and that's clearly not who Eric Ebron is, but like they need to fill that specific role. And like there are interesting players like that, like a Michael Roberts, or you know, they could use somebody who's a little bit tougher between the tackles running the football, like Kareem Hunt, not to keep on like touting these Toledo guys, but
it's a good class for Toledo. I like it.
Yeah, strong class, strong showing. I think it's gonna be a strong MAC class.
Yeah, Bowling Green's gonna have a couple of very high rated guys too, I believe.
They might have a top 10 pick in Corey Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Taylor Morton, the offensive tackle from Western, I've seen his name in the first round. So, I mean, there could be some big talent from the MAC. I don't know. It's so much more interesting right now to look at these middle round guys just because they haven't gotten so much exposure and I haven't really heard their names all that much. And just to drop this in here real quick, if O.J. Howard is available at 21, I'm fully on board. Draft tight end in the first round.
Here we go again.
Wow. I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind.
No.
I'm having this O.J. Howard debate internally too much.
Oh, I kind of want to throw down and have it right now.
All right, go ahead. Go. I was going to ask you, Jeremy, about, you know what? Forget the question I had. Let's talk about O.J. Howard. Fine. Go ahead.
I mean, I get that tight end is potentially a need, but it does at this point feel like a luxury in this year, considering where the Lions are defensively completely. And maybe it changes in free agency. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they pick up a guy like Dont'a Hightower, James, or Jason Pierre-Paul, but tight end, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if we're going to move Ebron to that third wide receiver position, great. Then let's just pick up a guy that's mainly focused on blocking in free agency and leave tight end at that for now. And then we can decide what to do with Ebron later, whether we exercise his fifth-year option, whether we franchise him, whatever. We'll deal with that when we need to, but at this point, like,
I know a lot of people would say, take on Ryan's angle, but they would say, like, you know, what about the two tight end set? But, I mean, the biggest two tight end set proponents were the New England Patriots. We saw that year when both Bennett and Gronkowski were healthy, Bennett was a non-factor. And when Gronkowski got hurt, it was only one tight end, and Bennett was doing pretty well. So it's not like, I think you're right that it is a luxury, but Ryan, go on, defend. Why would you want O.J. Howard?
Okay, I mean, just aside from the fact that he's, like, heads and above, I think, the best tight end prospect, like, and there are, like, some good, like, middle-round tight end prospects, but, like, this guy, I mean, like, I think, based on his skill set, I think he's, like, a top 10 pick. But, I don't know, like, a lot of people will look at tight end as, like, a luxury pick, but the reason I defend the pick as, you know, being a viable one for the Lions is that, if you draft him, you don't have to worry about all this nonsense with picking up Eric Ebron's fifth-year option or even re-signing him. Like, you could just let Eric Ebron walk. And I'm not trying to say that I'm not an Eric Ebron fan by any means, but I'm just saying that O.J. Howard is a type of talent where he fills all of the needs that you could ever want for a tight end.
I just still think it's too early to make a judgment on Ebron. But granted, I'm probably the last holdout for that.
I'm not trying to jump to a conclusion and say that Ebron should just be done and that we should just move on from him. But I'm just saying, if you could get a talent like O.J. Howard, you don't have to worry about paying Ebron. You don't have to worry about, you know, this fifth year option stuff. Like,
I don't know. To me, I just look at this roster and the last thing I think it needs is another weapon for Stafford. Like, that seems like a waste of a first round pick to me.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that argument, too. I just think that his talent is too much to pass up on. Like, if you have a run of cornerbacks and defensive ends that go in the first round, where all of a sudden Taco Charlton isn't available, and now you're so far down that list. I mean, am I opposed to trading back? I mean, that's the biggest draft meme that there is. But, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to drafting down. But if O.J. Howard's at 21, I don't know why the Lions wouldn't take him.
All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, it is time for the mailbag.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
shears the mill. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time, as always, to the Ask POD or hashtag Ask POD on Twitter to Pride of Detroit. We've got some reviews to add to read first, as we always do. We read every review that is written to us. Who wants to take the first one? From Nathaniel D. Jong.
I'll read it, since I know you guys will be pained to read it. Please stay to football is the title. Please no wrestling. Please more football analysis. Still better than the radio. At least you can skip the parts you don't like.
Sweet. So we have another review here. Lion Lover 69. Nice. He titles his review, "No Lions? Question mark. I have been disappointed with this podcast. I have listened to this podcast for about 2 years, and these quote-unquote hosts have yet to talk about my favorite animal, the lion. All they talk about is football and sandwiches. This is criminal, considering that they call themselves a Lions podcast. The only thing that keeps me coming back is the 5 minutes of wrestling in some podcasts. And by the way, Jeremy Langford is not a top 10
running
back.
I'm taking the L on Langford. I will take it every day. Holy shit.
Thank you. Thank you, Lions Lover 69.
The lion is a magnificent creature. And more to the point about the Lions, I'm actually kind of worried about a couple of them. You guys know, like, P.T. Barnum Bailey Circus is shutting down. What's going to happen to those world-famous white lions? What's going to happen to them?
White lions matter. Going?
I don't know. Hey, what they should do is that they should probably, and by they, I mean the Detroit Lions organization, they should get a lion that they put in a cage, like, near the field.
Oh, like a Mike the Tiger situation at LSU?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's dangerous?
I mean, it's
in a cage?
It's kind of hard, like, okay, kind of serious here a second. That's kind of hard because even, like, Mike the Tiger at LSU, like, that drew out a lot of criticism, and a lot of the times the Tiger wouldn't go to a game because it's just, it's a stressful place to be. There's a lot of people yelling.
Yeah.
And you're in a cage.
2 years ago, we had someone in PETA run naked across Ford Field wearing something about PETA.
Didn't we also have on Thanksgiving, we had a no slaughter of animals? That, yeah, like 2015 season.
That's what I was talking about, I think.
They weren't naked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was there. They were not naked. Okay. Would have been more entertaining if they were. I would have mentioned that.
They weren't red, mad, and nude?
No, no.
Look, I am just all about this idea now. I am really giving a lot of thought to putting a lion on the sidelines on Sundays.
Okay.
And stationing it near where the visitors come out.
Jesus Christ.
All we need is, like, enough people to bring it up to Rod Wood, because he seems to kind of acquiesce to every single fan demand that there is.
Yeah. You don't think that this is, like, a big jump? Like, first it's, we want better Wi-Fi, and now it's, like, we want a live lion in a cage.
Yeah,
I just think there's a difference.
It's on par with cheerleaders.
I just think it's a bit different from having, like, a dog on the sideline versus a lion in a cramped cage.
What's the big deal? It's like the Detroit Zoo is not very far. You wouldn't have to have it travel very far. I would gladly trade that big, disgusting blue donut for a lion appearance.
How dare you, sir?
That donut's
fighting words.
Hey, if they're gonna increase ticket prices, then I want a goddamn lion on the sidelines.
All right, let's go to the mailbag. Jay at JZMX. If Dan Orlovsky is leaving, does that mean that nobody will be left from the 2008 season?
False. Don Mulbeck, you jerk.
Yeah, Mulbeck. Well, this gives us a good jumping off point to talk about. Jeremy saw this as a sign that Dano was leaving, and I'm not quite sure because I always see this all the time from players, especially when their contracts are up. Like, what do we make of the Dano tweet? And, like, the Dano, or was it an Instagram message? Like, something Dano said. I'm just vaguely aware of it.
It was a tweet. I'll read it aloud if the listeners haven't seen it. He says, "Detroit versus everybody. It'll always be where it started for me. It'll always have a piece of my heart." That seems pretty clear to me that's a goodbye. Like, I love you, Detroit. Thanks for the time. Deuces.
I'm kind of leaning that way, too. I think that the writing was kind of on the wall once Edsel got the job at Connecticut.
I think we could see him go back to UConn. Like, that's kind of a big thing. It's clear that UConn is pretty dear in his heart.
Well, and the other thing, too, though, is that it seems like he's just such a valuable guy while he's not playing, right? Like, he seems like he's a really good football mind.
Yeah, and you kind of eventually need to put those guys in positions where they can, like, coach and become football minds. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, I think there's some magical thinking about, like, hey, we just ditch everyone from 2008 and suddenly you'll be right as rain again.
Don Mulbeck is still on the team. Chris, stop.
No, well, he isn't until March.
Jeremy Land is coming back.
Why are we turning this into a long snapper debate? Every podcast evolves into a long snapper talk. Why? People don't want to hear this.
People don't want to hear us talk about this. Long snapper watch 2017.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
My eyes are glued to that hashtag.
Jump on it early. Okay, we got some questions about other sports teams here. Let's start with YvetteS19. Are you guys all Lions all the time, or what other leagues/teams are you fans or follow closely?
Big fan of Cleveland Browns. Have been for quite some time.
Jesus Christ.
Get out of here.
I think that big things are ahead for them. I really like Hugh Jackson, and I don't know what else to say. I just think that Cleveland will go 6-10 next year.
Well, I find it interesting that, okay, besides that thing right there.
Besides what thing right there?
I just find interesting the entire Pride of Detroit staff is, except for probably college, pretty unified as far as being all four teams in Detroit. Like, I run into quite a few other fans, like, I'll run into some Tigers fans now and then who are absolutely not Lions fans. But I just kind of find it fascinating that the entire Pride of Detroit staff is Lions, Pistons, Red Wings, Tigers.
I mean, it makes sort of sense because you get the feeling that you're only a Lions fan if you have to be, quote unquote, have to be, because you're from Detroit.
I don't know.
And so it would follow that you're okay. Fans of all Detroit sports.
I agree. I want to pose this question to you now. Which AFC team are you guys a fan of?
I don't think I have a good answer for that. I kind of like the Bengals because I kind of view them as the AFC Lions.
Actually, I've got an answer. The Raiders.
They're a sexy team to like right now.
Yeah.
Well, they've always been a sexy team. Like, Al Davis, all the rest, they've got, like, out of all the old AFL teams, they and probably the Chiefs have probably the most history. It's just, I don't care about Kansas City.
But we all know the Jaguars are your favorite team, so that would be the true answer to the question for you, right?
I guess. I really liked, like, the early 2000s Jaguars. I really liked them. I liked Fred Taylor. I liked Mark Brunell.
Hey, I could go down the list of AFC teams I fell in love with. I was in love with the Raiders at one point because they had Jamarcus Russell. And then I was in love with the Jaguars because they had Byron Leftwich and David Garrard.
Okay, so other than North American sports, like, is there any, like, other sports or leagues you guys follow? No? Nothing?
No. Kyle Yost isn't on this podcast.
I would like to get into soccer, but it's...
See, that's how you always... That's how you always have to feel about getting into soccer fandom, Jeremy. You're like, I'd like to maybe root for a team, but then you're like, I don't know if I want to wake up that early in the morning on Saturday to watch Premier League soccer.
It's even worse for Jeremy because he's on the West Coast.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
I might as well not sleep if I become an EPL fan.
I mean, I have an Italian soccer team I follow, but clearly Ryan doesn't want to
talk about it. Are they sponsored by Ragu?
No, they're not.
They're not sponsored by Ragu?
Asshole. No, they're not.
Couldn't get the rights.
You know what? Speaking of early waking early up, I would love to get into Formula One, but that is, like with Jeremy, like when Monaco starts at like 7 a.m., I'm not feeling it.
Anything involving a car is just never going to happen with me.
It's bad enough I have to get in one and drive one around each day. I don't want to watch other people
do like
it.
I do like drone league racing, though.
That's more exciting than any of the things that you've named off that are not North American-centric sports.
I'm just saying, okay, so here's the other one then for you, Ryan, because I know you and I and Alex, we play a lot of Overwatch. Are you feeling eSport at all, or no?
Dude, I do not know what to make of eSports. Like, these professional sports organizations that are adopting eSports teams, like, this is so bizarre.
Yeah,
this is insane.
Who's the team that just, like, adopted an eSports? Was it,
I think the 76ers did.
Was it the Sixers? Yeah, it was an NBA team. I remember that much.
Yeah, eSports are taking off in a big way, and I don't know. Like, what do you make of it?
I haven't watched a minute of it. Like, even with all the penetration on ESPN with Heroes of the Dorm or some of these other stuff, and I think the problem is a lot of it is MOBA, and I don't give a shit about MOBA. I don't care about League of Legends. I don't care about Defense of the Ancients. I don't care about either of those games. They're boring to me. I don't care about StarCraft either. Now, if there's more stuff like, again, Overwatch or Team Fortress or some other shooter stuff, maybe I would watch some of that stuff. I just don't care for strategy games. And I don't care for MOBAs.
Yeah, there was a soccer team over in Europe, and I don't know which.
Yes, was it one of the league?
I think it was Manchester. It was one of the Manchester teams. But they were like having tryouts to like form an esports Overwatch team. And I was kind of thinking about leaving everything behind, like leaving like everything in my life behind and maybe like spending all my money to get a plane ticket to go over there and try out for them. But it was the 76ers. They became the first North American professional organization to own an esports team, and they bought in on some team that plays League of Legends.
I see so much money going to esports, and yet I just don't know that many people who watch it. Like, I really don't, other than, like, I know SB Nation has, like, a League of Legends, like, site now, but I have yet to meet people who are, like, avid esports watchers who will tell you they are, like, they would, like, a football fan.
But it's a younger generation than us, right?
And I hate it.
People are obsessed. Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, am I out of touch? No, it's the children who don't get
it. It's happening, buddy. Join me in the 30s.
Oh, no. It's the worst because these kids have these expectations where they're like, I'm just going to grow up to be a professional video game player. It's like, no, it's not going to work. Your thumbs suck. Go do something else.
Other question on the docket from that kind of strain is James at Cookie991. Do you know of any good Tigers podcasts?
The Bussy Boys podcast is great with Hookside.
And that's pretty good. That's a very long one, but it is some very good stuff. I don't know of too many others. I hate to go company man on all y'all and give you another SB Nation blog, but...
Yeah, but it's really good. It's better than our podcast, to be honest.
Oh, shut up.
Get out of here.
Don't get me mad. Okay, GV42 asks, some of my coworkers are trying to drag me to the new 50 Shades movie this upcoming Friday. Should I go, or how do I get out of it?
Well, I have a lot of questions to ask about this one. First of all, are you allowed to date coworkers? Are you in the position to be dating anybody? Are any of these coworkers dateable?
This is a really good Valentine's Day question.
Do you have any reason that you should be going to see this 50 Shades of Grey sequel with your coworkers? Where are you going to end up after the movie? Don't go see this movie with your coworkers.
I mean, it's one of those events, though, that you kind of want to just watch from a distance because it's so weird. But at the same time, like, if you want to get out, just, like, I don't know, claim you're asexual and this is against your sort of lifestyle or something.
Stab yourself. Just tell them you're sick or something. Like, you've got food poisoning. I don't know. Let's see here. A couple more questions. Let's go to Elephant Trees here. He's got quite a few things. Which sport would you ditch football for?
This one's pretty easy for me. I would ditch it to watch basketball all the time.
If I could...
It would be...
Go on.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to make Ryan mad with this. If I could have reprioritized my life and gotten into international soccer a lot earlier, I probably would have, just because it's too much for me now to know all these transfer windows and extra leagues and shit, but...
Cool. I wish you could have a do-over then.
Jeez, fuck you.
I'm just going to answer quickly. I would say hockey, although I just watched... the Wings get annihilated by the Wild, and now I'm not so sure.
Well, this is the thing. I picked a sport that has more, and I mean, I guess, whatever, Chris, your soccer answer is fine because it kind of coincides with my reasoning for basketball, but it has more than just, like, one league I would watch.
Sure.
I don't watch college hockey. Like, where do you watch college hockey? Like, it's too tough to find.
NBCSN.
You gotta go there.
NBCSN has some, but then, like, yeah, outside of, like, unless it's, like, the actual NCAA tournament, it's really hard to watch college hockey if you're outside of, like, New England, which is where which is where all those teams are. Hockey East. It's like, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Boston University, Boston College. Yeah. So,
but if you're in the Detroit area, I would highly recommend going to a game at Yost in Ann Arbor.
Oh yeah, really, the awesome ice cube. The ice cube. Yeah.
I enjoyed going to those games more than I enjoyed going to the Big House, if I'm being completely honest.
Let's see here. Joseph R. Sweeney 5. Should we do a live thread for the Rick and Morty premiere?
They're drawing it.
It's coming.
As long as this podcast is still around in 3 years, then yeah.
Once they're done drawing it.
drawing it. If I would put it on air, it would look a lot like a script.
All right. Another one from Elephant Trees, and I actually like this question a lot. Who's the better AA in Detroit? Amir Abdullah or Andreas Anaonsiyu?
I would go Anthanasiyu.
Anthanasiyu. Okay, I said that.
Oh, God, they're both very fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched a ton of Red Wings this year, but I think I just watched him put up 3 points in this game, or at least two. And he's the real deal. Like, amongst a team that doesn't seem to have a lot or any young talent, he's the one shining light in the Red Wings. But at the same time, I'm very excited for Amir Abdullah next year. I really think people are sleeping on him right now, and because of the injury, I think he could be. I'm not going to anoint him a top 10 or even a top 15 back, but like he could be top 20, which isn't great, but it's something the Lions aren't accustomed to having. So I think I'm still probably going to say Anthanasiyu, but I'm excited for Abdullah too.
It's a pretty good question though, because both those guys are like electric playmakers. Like, they're two guys where all, you know, seemingly nothing will turn into something grand pretty quick. So I don't know. I love how Anthanasiyu is in Blashill's doghouse constantly because he isn't playing the brand of hockey that it seems like he wants him to play, and he's playing him the wrong way and putting him with the wrong line combinations. But when he cuts him loose and all of a sudden he gets like 2 or 3 points in a game, it's like, oh, this guy might be one of the most valuable assets to the Red Wings going forward.
Scott Barlow asks, will the POD community help with my legal fees after the Lions draft an off-skill player at 21 and I go on a violent four-state crime spree?
Well, Ryan won't, since he wants a tight end.
Well, first off, Scott, I know you're in... Isn't Scott still in Canada? So it would be a four-province spree. Got him. He's going to come south of the border and do that.
No, you should ask... You should ask Mike Ilitch's family to pay for it.
They have real judges in Canada, right? Not so-called judges.
Okay.
Are they called judges?
Yeah, they were something. Don't. Is it, God.
It, magistrates.
Mountie hats.
Are they magistrates?
Jesus Christ, guys. It's north of us. It's not a fucking 16th century country.
Have you ever been to Montreal?
Shout out to our Canadian listeners.
Jesus Christ.
I love Toronto. I love poutine, too.
Scott, I will say, if you come south of the border, you're going to have to deal with...
John C!
You playing Overwatch while we're doing this?
No! Although, I think Arcade...
It did, but you better not fucking go at that shit.
I won't.
Not until we're done.
Okay.
I saw the TV screen light up, you son of a bitch.
Clearly just got turned
off. What are you talking about?